so that we can walk with him, so we can walk with God. Then I went through these scriptures to make my case, to show very clearly from scripture that one cannot walk by faith until one has been justified by faith in Christ's blood. And that a just man is one who is justified totally by his faith in the blood of Christ as the full atonement for all his sins. Only that man is capable of walking by faith. All that seems very simplistic, but it's the basis behind walking with God. And then I went through Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, walking with God and the saints. John 3, 7, 1 Peter 1, 23, John 6, 63, Ephesians 2, 5, Ephesians 2, 10, and I ended up right here at Genesis 5, 24. And Enoch walked with God, and Enoch, and he was not, well, God took him. I was quite remarkably amazed when I came to this church to discover how different it was, the way that God deals with people, than I thought. My walk for Christ, my walk with God at that time, was a very irregular thing, and it was something that I tried to do that, quite frankly, I failed continually. Now, most people that I've encountered, certainly I include myself, consider this walking with God something that is beyond their reach. And when they see how much God was pleased with Enoch, they almost write it off as, well, I could never be that good, accurate, in walking with God. If you've been born again and you want to walk with God, there's one word that you can always remember, and as long as you're trying to do that, you can walk with God. It's called obey. Now, as I've told you so many times, in my case it's not unusual, I was saved when I was 12. But I didn't walk with God for 11 years because I didn't want to submit to baptism. And I didn't start walking with God till I was actually about 23 years old. Then I submitted to baptism, and I felt really good about it. And I was in fellowship with God. It was scriptural baptism. And my whole world changed, and I was just one happy individual. But it wasn't long until the kids all came along, and I got caught up in life, and church was something that I attended, but pretty much hit and miss here and there, where the Spirit bothered me so much I couldn't stand it anymore. And finally, one night in a hotel room in Omaha, Nebraska, I was brought face to face with a choice that I do not believe, if I had made it, I would still be alive. And I told God I would do whatever he wanted. I surrendered to God thinking that now I'm totally surrendered and I'm going to live this impossible life. I discovered when God called me to preach that the life he called me to is not an impossible life. It's not an unobtainable life. It's a very simple, straightforward life when you come to realize how small and insignificant and helpless you are, and that God doesn't ask you to live above sin. Sure, it would be nice But when God says walking with him, it just means to do the basic things that he said. When I began to realize how important the local church was to Christ, and that he gave himself for it, and I began to study his word, things changed in my life. My attitude changed in my life. You don't have to live above sin to walk with God. You just have to stay in fellowship with him. Now, he's perfectly willing to stay in fellowship with you all the time. But you can't stay in fellowship with God and treat his church as something that you just work into your busy schedule. Now, God is not some great, mean, horrible ogre sitting up in heaven, looking down on you and having no mercy, kindness, grace, or anything towards you. You know whether you can come to church or not. You know. And in your own heart, you know whether your excuse is valid or not. You know. I don't have to make the judgment. I don't want to make the judgment. I really don't. It's your judgment. But you can't stay in fellowship with God and not love his church. You can't do it. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, God wants more from me than that. Well, if he wants more from you than that, then why aren't you at least doing that? That's what God wants from you. God wants you to assemble together, to hear his word preached, to grow in grace, to walk with him, stay in fellowship with him, and obey him. How are you obeying? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You can't live above sin. But when you're physically able, and when your engagements don't demand that you be gone, God understands. And you know it in your heart when God understands. But you can do that. And that's how you stay in fellowship with God. You can't walk with God and not be in fellowship with him. The real question is not whether God loves you. The real question is whether or not you love the body of his son, which is the church. Everybody's always looked upon Enoch as a super Christian. Well, that may well be the case. But the only thing I can be sure of was that this man was seeking to please God. You can do that. I didn't say you weren't ever going to be out of fellowship with him. I didn't say you weren't going to have good days and bad days. I didn't say sometime you didn't feel justified. I'm not saying that. But you can come to church. And in your heart, the Lord's there. And you better be careful. If you keep playing games with him, and you run back to him for fellowship every 5 minutes, when you decide not to come to church, and you keep that game up long enough, pretty soon you'll begin to hate church. Because he bothers you about it, you come. He bothers you about it, you come. He bothers you about it, you come. And you'll get to where you hate the church. You'll get to where you hate coming. But you won't ever admit to yourself, I'm wrong. You'll find things wrong with the pastor. You'll find things wrong with the church. You'll find things wrong with the other members. You're going to be just like me. You're not going to admit you're wrong about anything. You're just going to find a reason to justify what you're doing. But there's only one person you really have to justify yourself before, and that's God. you can come to church. They say, well, God wants more than that. Well, how can you give him more than that if you won't even give him that? Walking with God and the saints by faith. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, but God took him. In Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, this account is given. Hebrews 11, 5, 6, 1, 2, and 37 to 12, 1. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Was God pleased that you got baptized? Anybody want to say no? Was God pleased that you got baptized? You think God's pleased because you and Don always come to church? You see what I'm talking about? That's what pleases God. God's not hard to please. You don't have to climb Mount Everest. Everybody's always looking like it's mission impossible. He pleased God. He just did what God wanted. Everybody here that honestly thinks God doesn't want you to come to church, and I've never done this before, raise your hand. You're not going to raise your hand. You know what God wants. That's how you please God. Does he bother you when you don't come? Do you have to give yourself reasons? Do you have to find some excuse in the church for making it possible for you to say, well, this is why I don't go? Are you in fellowship with God doing that? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You have to be saved in order to walk with him by faith, because you can't walk with him unless you've been saved by grace through faith. And if you won't walk with him after you get saved, you certainly don't please him. It doesn't please God when you don't. It doesn't please God when you fail to come to church. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I've never done this before, but I'm just going to want you to think about it. How many of you here believe that when you come to church, that's diligently seeking him? Well, let me put the question this way. How many of you know everything you need to know about God? How many of you need to know, how many of you need to think you know everything you need to know about Christ? How many of you got this all figured out? You know how you diligently find it? Now, he says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How can you say you're diligently seeking him if you don't come to church? You might have a valid excuse if I didn't preach the word. You might have a valid excuse if I didn't put the word on a screen and show it to you and let you make your own decision. Coming to church, God's going to reward you for it. Being baptized, God's going to reward you for it. So the question boils down to this. Are you more interested in the rewards that you're going to have in the millennial reign and forever, or what you can eke out of life here? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's things that you hope for in the future. That's why you're supposed to come to church. Nobody's going to pay you for coming to church. God doesn't expect you to come to get paid. God expects you to come because you believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And faith gives evidence of things not seen. The very fact that you're here tonight is substance. I can see you. I can tell that you love the Lord. The evidence of things not seen. But what about the people that are always here? You're not in a race with other people. You're not in a race with each other. You're not in a race with me. You're not in a race with Paul. You're not in a race with Enoch. Let me tell you what you're in a race with. Your own self. Your own flesh. I'm speaking to all of you that have souls that are saved. Let me tell you, souls, and I speak to my own soul. Let me tell you what you're in a race with. You're in a race with how well you can learn to control your flesh such that you don't live your life in such a way that it brings disgrace upon the rest of the church. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. In this chapter, he lists all the elders. Now, let's take a look at these people. Because we really have it bad, don't we? My goodness, it's a good thing we got the air conditioner fixed this week. We just have to have everything just right. I'm not knocking you. I'm that way myself. For by it the elders obtained a good report. What was the good report? They not only believed that God is, but they believed that he would reward them if they diligently sought him. Now here's what happened to them. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, God having provided some better thing for us, man, we've got so much more than they have. What you're looking on screen, they didn't have. That's the New Testament. They didn't know Jesus was coming to take away their sins. They just believed God's promise of a Savior who was coming, a seed. Look at what you've got. Look at what I've got. You know what God wants? To obey him. God expects you to be baptized. God expects you to serve him in his church. And God expects you to grow spiritually. And God put the church down here so you could grow spiritually. And if you think you don't need to grow spiritually, you're the one that needs to grow more than anybody else in this church. That they without us should not be made perfect. We're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. What is the thing that so easily besets us? Job, children, wife, husband, profession, relatives, visitors, friends. Now, what's the most important thing in your life? I'm just going to point. What's more important to you than the church? You decide. What's the most important thing in your life? Is it the church? Is it the church? Is the most important thing in your life the body of Christ, the church? As I point, you fill in the blank. What is it in your life that's more important than coming and worshiping God? You fill in the blank. He says, lay it aside. The sin which doth so easily beset us is the world. The word that's used here means circumvent, all around us. And let us run with patience, with endurance, the race that's set before us. Brother and Sister George used to sit right here. They ran a race. They didn't have any college degrees. They weren't the mayor, the mayoress. They weren't brilliant, exciting, provocative people. They were just two very common, ordinary people that ran a race for the Lord, and they did it, and they endured. That word is hypomene. You know what you're going to be judged for? Whether you ran the race and kept on running it to the end, and how well you ran it in between. Now listen to this verse of Scripture. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So where are you going to give glory to God? Outside the church or in it? I'm not going to browbeat you into serving with God, because that'll never make you do it continuously. But I am going to show you the Scripture and remind you how much the one who had this written by his Spirit loves you. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Put that on the good ground of they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, katiko it, keep it, value it, guard it, protect it, want more of it, and bring forth fruit with hypomene, with endurance. How much fruit are you bringing forth? This isn't a race between me and you. It's not a race between you and anyone else in this church. It's not a race between you and Paul or any of the people that wrote the epistles. Nobody. It's a race between your soul and your carnal nature, and you're never going to be worth a flip to God until your soul starts obeying God and puts up a fight against the carnal nature. The carnal nature doesn't want you coming to church. The carnal nature wants you to talk about other people in the church. The carnal nature wants you to be critical of one another. He wants you to stay on the phone, stirring up trouble. The carnal nature hates the church. You say, well, my carnal nature doesn't. Yes, your carnal nature does. And only God and his Spirit living in you can convince your soul that the most important thing in your life ought to be the church. I told you I was going to get through by seven. The Bible says every man's a liar. But for once in my life, I won't be a liar. Now it's crunch time. For 31 years here, I've tried to be as straightforward and tactful as I could. But I'm convinced we don't have much longer. Could I be wrong? Sure. But that's a pitiful reason for deciding not to serve God when you think there's more time left for you to do it. One of these mornings, you're not going to wake up. One of these mornings, your wife, your daughter, your friends, your relatives, they're going to come in, you're going to be laying there in bed stone cold dead. One of these days, you're going to be driving down the street. And all of a sudden, you're going to be like Enoch. You're going to be taken in a violent accident. It's always the other fellow, isn't it? I'm telling you, it's drawing near. Do you think are you mad at me for what I'm telling you? Does what I say to you, you say, he doesn't have a right to say that? If you haven't figured out yet that God warns his people because he loves them, you sure haven't learned very much about Jesus. And you need to learn why you ought to come to church. You ought to come to church because he loves you, gave himself for you. You ought to serve in church and do the things God wants, not because you have a persuasive pastor, or because you have a great youth director, or because you have this and that. You ought to come to church because you love the Lord, and you ought to be willing to work in it because he first loves you. Time's short. Whatever you intend to do, you just don't have very long to do it. Not very long at all. Brother Kenneth Eubanks, would you dismiss us?